Well, hello again, the Bible is Funny podcast family. It's me, Anthony Russo. Some of you might know me better as at the Bible is Funny on Instagram. Here, coming to you with another Bible is Funny podcast. It's just going to be me on this podcast. I feel like we're on a run here of a lot of guests, which has been so fun. If you've missed some of those, we've had some really, really fun guests on. So go back and check out some of those episodes if you missed them. I have something I want to say up here at the top, which is that the Bible is Funny podcast just eclipsed 15,000 downloads since we started. We just passed 15,000 downloads, and I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much to everybody who is listening to this, is following along and telling your friends. This is just, I wrestled with this idea to do this podcast for so long because I just thought, I don't know if this is needed. I don't know if anybody will listen. And everybody who's been a part of this little podcast community has been so kind and has been so gracious and said such nice, encouraging things. And so thank you so much. This has been a blast to make this podcast. And thank you to everybody listening. Appreciate everybody leaving reviews and things like that. I do see them, and they're great. Everybody who reaches out on Instagram, at the Bible is Funny. Ugh, I just love you guys so much. Thank you for listening and for following along. Some other updates. Crosby and Finn are asleep. We were traveling recently. I wanted to share this story with you guys. I'm a really bad liar. I want to start there. And I also want to say I'm very conflict averse. I do not like conflict. Kind of avoid it at all costs. And so we were flying recently for a work thing, and the whole family came. And we're flying back, and my Finn is 2 years old, and he was like, he was not wearing a mask. We were getting ready to take off on our last flight home. He was not wearing a mask, and when we were putting him on the plane, the first flight attendant we saw was like, "Oh, he's got to wear a mask unless he's under two," and my wife and I were both like, "Oh, he's under two because he hates wearing a mask." He screams, he fights it the whole time. It's an absolute mess. So then we get in our seats and we're getting all situated and a different flight attendant comes by and I'm sitting in a row with Finn and Rachel's sitting in a row with Crosby. A different flight attendant comes by and sees Finn and looks at him and is like, "Oh, he's got to be wearing a mask." And I was like, "Oh, we're busted." And then I'm just really averse to conflict, guys. I avoid it. Many of you are thinking, why didn't you just say at that point that he was under two? And I know it's not true. I'm also a bad liar. All these things are coming together. So I'm like, "Oh, let me get the mask together." But then I remembered. So I looked back to the flight attendant and I was like, "Oh, isn't another flight attendant when we had entered the plane had said if he was under two, he didn't have to wear a mask. So is that, does that policy remain?" And the flight attendant looked at me, didn't even miss a beat, looked at me and said, "Oh, is he under two?" Because Finn is not a small, he's not a small two-year-old. And I looked at her and I was like, "I mean, yeah." And we just stared at each other for a moment where she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was lying, that there was just no way that I was telling the truth. And I was completely at her mercy at that point. And then she let it be and she walked away. So that was very kind. If flight attendant, if you are listening, that was very kind of you to let me off the hook. And I promise I will never lie again because I'm so bad at it. Finn is two. He's over two. And that's the truth. Penny is out here with me tonight as we record. Penny's hanging out. Rachel is, she's actually already off to bed. It's It's been a busy couple of days here at the house, but as of this recording, Rachel's birthday is less than a week away. So her birthday's coming up. We're all pretty excited about that. Rachel's birthday. If you see her, say happy birthday. Or you can do it on the internet too. That's how the kids are doing it these days. That it's so interesting that like Facebook birthday thing is like such a new thing to culture, and it's like, where does it fit? You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to hear happy birthday from their best friend exclusively on Facebook. That feels hurtful. Cause the Facebook happy birthday seems to be for like a tier of friend. But then it doesn't hurt to hear happy birthday from your best friend on Facebook. The Facebook happy birthday is an interesting part of modern day society that we're now stuck with. We're all getting that alert. Oh, it's so-and-so's birthday today. Hey, happy birthday. And it's like, it's nice. It's never not nice. But if like that was the only way my mom said happy birthday to me, I would be upset. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. And mom, I know you're listening. I need a text or something, a call. You know what I mean? Something more personal. Okay, so the text we're going to cover today, here on the Bible is Funny podcast, we talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. And I was very excited about our sharing some news and catching everybody up on our lives. So I hesitated. I didn't say that till later. But that's what we do here. So we're going to talk about this passage, which is, I feel like I say this about all the passages, but this is really one of the funnier, like, chunks of scripture I feel like we're going to cover. And it's from 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 through 45. It's kind of like that's a chunk of a whole story. Really, we're only going to cover through 40. Sorry. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 through 40 is what we'll be covering. We're not going to cover all those verses in depth. We're just going to kind of walk along with this story. What's happening in the story, we have Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Some of you might be familiar with this story, but it's Elijah and the prophets of Baal. So 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 through 40. So Ahab is meeting with Elijah here. Elijah is a prophet in this story, and Ahab is a king. And I love this right out of the gate in verse 17. I love this interaction. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have." There's more to his response, but I just love that right out of the gate, that first exchange. Is it you, you troubler of Israel? That's like, you know, coming in so harsh to his. Ahab and Elijah did not get along, as you may have gleaned from this right from the start. So Ahab says to Elijah, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" And Elijah answers, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have." No, you. Or maybe it's like the classic version of, "I know you are, but what am I?" It's such a savage comeback back in the day. You're lame. I know you are, but what am I, though? Oh, it's one of those great things we used to say. Another one of those I've been over recently is, "Let's not and say we did." Like, geez, I don't know if anyone else remembers saying that. "I know you are, but what am I? Let's not and say we did." Like, let's not do that thing and then lie and pretend like we did do it. What a weird suggestion. Who are we lying to? Who do we have to do this thing for? Anyway, back to the verse. This is verse 17 and 18. I'm going to skim through a little bit here. I skip down to verse 20 because I just thought that greeting was so funny. I had to talk about it. I want to mention, too, the verses I'm reading today are actually out of the ESV. This is the ESV version. Of this passage, and I like the way it words a couple of things, and we're talking about wording on a couple of verses in here. This is the ESV version. Skip down to verse 20. Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. So this kind of sets the scene. Elijah is setting up this like challenge with the prophets of Baal. And he kind of walks through the rules in the next couple verses. We're in verse 21 right now. Verse 22, Elijah said to the people, I only am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. So let two bulls be given to us and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. So that's kind of the scene that we're in here. Elijah is challenging the prophets of Baal and they both get a bull. And whatever God, either the God of Elijah, the true God, the God of Israel, will step in here and will light this bull on fire, or he's saying either that will happen or Baal will light the bull on fire. So it's a challenge. It's a very clear challenge going on here. But I love this verse, and I'm actually, again, like I told you, I'm bouncing around translations a little bit. But in verse 24, Elijah spells out the rules of this. And there's like a crowd gathering on Mount Carmel at this point. You know, this is a big showdown for the soul of Israel, really, this is a big deal. These people are gathering. And Elijah lays out all these rules, for like four verses of rules as to how this thing's going to go down. And in the, verse 24, it says, verse 23, I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. Verse 24, and you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. Goes through all the rules, all the way down to verse 24. and the CSB, I love their version of this, and all the people answered, that's fine. I love this. It calls to mind so many things. Like, it seems like it's kind of an important thing, especially as we read it now. It's really setting the stage. So all these rules as to how this is going to go down. It's walking us through it. It reminds me a little bit of when you're on an airplane and the pilot talks about how we're going to fly. We can get up to 25,000 feet. We're going to fly over there. Maybe we hit a little bit of turbulence there. I don't know about, maybe we will, maybe we won't. I don't know. Then we're going to, turn over here. We'll be landing in Houston. And everybody, it's an important bit of your day. This is how you're going to travel across the country. But, everyone in the plane just, okay, that's fine. Nobody sends up a here's where I have an issue with that plan. That's fine. I love that verse there. That's fine. Or maybe it's like when, probably more apt is when there's like a fight, UFC or a boxing fight, and they go over some of the rules, or the ref is going over the rules. That's fine. Just do the show. We're here for the show. So then Elijah goes on in verse 25 and says to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourself one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. Call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it. Verse 26, and they took the bull that was given to them, and they prepared it, called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. This is verse 26. From morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, no one answered, and they limped around the altar that they had made. Now limped, in verse 26, is translated in some other versions as danced around the altar that they had made, which I think is very funny. And I understand this is probably like a translation issue, but that limping and dancing feel like two very different things, unless you're dancing very poorly. The only time there could be some confusion as to, is that a limp or is it a dance? And limping is mentioned earlier as well, so theme. And then verse 27, at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, now this is one of the better passages, one of the funnier, I should say. You don't want to say better or worse, but this is one of the funnier passages. It just is, it gives the character of Elijah a lot of funny depth to me, because here's what's going on. Again, back up to verse 26, the prophets of Baal, you know, 450 of these people, and they're dancing around or limping around, depending on the translation, and they're you know, doing these things to try and get Baal to send fire down. And Elijah pipes in verse 27. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." The saltiness is felt thousands of years after this scene in these words. Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he's definitely a god. You guys are, I mean, that goes without saying, but he might be relieving himself." He might be just in the restroom, and that is making it hard for, you know, Baal to hear you. Or he's on a journey. Perhaps he's asleep. He must be awakened. It's just so good. That's verse 27. You're going to want to, like, highlight that. Elijah mocked them, saying, right? It's just like this great trash talking. It's like, I'm terrible at trash talking. I've never been good at trash talking. And Elijah is obviously so good at it. "Cry aloud, for he's a god." He might be thinking, might be going to the bathroom. He might be on a trip. That's a funny one. He might be out of the office. You got to think about that. Maybe he's sending back an auto reply. And that's the answer. "Perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened." So now they're being trash talked. 450 people are being trash talked. So in 28, they cried aloud and they cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances. Verse 29, as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Again, seems like we're really pouring it on the failure of this attempt, and I am here for it. There was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. What a scene to imagine. Dancing and or limping around, you know, you're screaming, yelling, they've started to do this like ceremonial sword cutting system, and no one even paid attention at this point. Like, they're like, you can almost imagine the crowd sort of dissipating to the snacks, to like, "Oh, this has been going on for a while and nothing's happened." Almost like the lull of a soccer game or something. "We're not missing anything. We can run up there to the bathroom." So no one answered. No one paid attention. The prophets of Baal. So then the story goes on. The rest of the story is great. Elijah, verse 30, Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He makes a trench around the altar. He has people fill up jars of water and pour it over the bull. They douse the bull with water three times. Four jars of water are poured over the bull three times so that everything's just soaked. And then in verse 36, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things according to your word." And he continues on there. And then in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. So that's the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And here's something that I have come across in this process that has been the Bible is funny. A lot of times I see myself in characters in these Bible stories that I grew up on. I grew up in church. All of my earliest memories, I've been involved in around church. And so I'm familiar with these stories, and looking at them with new and fresh eyes and older eyes, I find myself as like the bad guys air quotes in these stories, you know, like the people that are obviously not the heroes in the story, the prophets of Baal in this case. And it's not so much in the false god worshiping area, but just in their refusal to accept that this is not working. Maybe there's somebody out there who's with me on this one. Like, you are doing something and it's not working. And then what do you decide to do, right? They've taken a pass at this. They did this from morning till noon. It wasn't working. Elijah poked fun at them and they doubled down their efforts. They went in more. They pushed in harder to this thing to try to make this happen. They didn't at that point say, you know what, maybe this is wrong and this is not going well. And that's the thing I can relate to. If you're anything like me, you have these moments where something's not working, it's not netting the desired result, or you're not getting closer to your goal. You can just feel that this isn't working. And I always, my first thought is keep trying, or try harder, or try more. It's got to be more trying has got to be the answer. That's where I can relate to the prophets of Baal here. Whatever the problem is, like, just doing more of it. Do more of what I know. I know how to do this, and if I do more of it, or if I do it harder, if I do it faster, if I do it more strategically, if I just do more trying, then I'll get where I want to go. And I am one who will always err on the side of perseverance. I think perseverance is invaluable in anything you're trying to do. There's going to be a time where it gets hard and you need to keep going. And that's not what's at play here. It's not that it's gotten hard or it's, you know, just a little bit more difficult than you maybe thought it might be. This is about when it's not working. And this can be in like a project you're doing. This can be in a relationship you're in. This can be in like any number of things. It's just not working. And again, if you're anything like me, you just want to try harder. You want to try more. I just want to keep trying. And I wanted to share with you guys just that observation and say I had this great professor. I went to film school, the University of Tampa, and I had this great professor that taught sitcom writing, and she gave us this great little like tidbit about working on a story. She said, if you're working on a story and something and it's not working, it feels like it's getting to a place where it's not working, take an element of the story and turn it completely upside down. Turn it, do the opposite of what you were planning on doing in the story, and see what happens to the story when you do that. So if it was like a group who was entering this contest and the plan was that they won and they were heroes, okay, think about that, but they don't win. It falls apart. It doesn't go well. They don't do what they wanted to do. If it's two characters are going out on a date and it's great and everything was perfect and romantic and lovely and they found the one, okay, flip that on its head. Say it didn't go that well. It was a terrible date. It didn't go great. You know, even as far as she would suggest, like, okay, have you seen that character as a male? Imagine that character as a female. If it's like everybody, maybe this is like a small startup company. Okay, well, what if the company is like a big, hugely successful company? Just flip something on its head. And it was so helpful in storytelling because you just would see how the story would respond to that, how all the characters respond to that. And you had such a great insight as to, like, usually at that point, you could kind of see what the right way forward is. But I also think it's something that in problem solving, you know, practically in my life has come in handy, because you just have to think about, man, this is not working. Something's not getting where I want it to go. I'm not getting kind of the desired result, whatever that might be in your situation. And really, again, it's not about when things get hard, stop trying. It's about you're trying and it's not working and it's not getting there. And there's a time and a place for, don't keep trying the same thing. We gotta try something different. We gotta mix this thing up. We gotta learn from the prophets of Baal here and say, this isn't working. This isn't gonna happen. Doesn't matter how much we try, how hard we try, we gotta do something different. And so I feel like that's my takeaway here. That's my little walkaway lesson from the prophets of Baal. There will be times where you're in it and you can see this isn't it. this isn't working. And if you keep trying, if you go to try for your answer to everything, and I can say this with 100% certainty, there are things that if I had just kept trying, had put my head down and just run as fast as I could to try to break through the wall all on my own power, you know, this would have just ended up with me hurt or me burnt out or me hurting people close to me. The results are not good. It's a sweet sentiment. You know, we sometimes have that, like, first you don't succeed, try again. There's this like entrepreneurial mentality that is sort of ingrained in, I know myself. But there are times, there are important times in our life when we need to realize more trying is not the answer. We need to stop. We need to reassess, reevaluate the situation. At least one of these 450 prophets of Baal, I promise you, had a moment in this entire day where they were like, so this isn't happening, everybody. This isn't going to happen. At least one. Promise you that. Be that one. Be the one that realizes this isn't going to work. This isn't happening. We need to try something different. And if you're the prophet of Baal, you're on the wrong God there. You got to get way, way different. But whatever your situation is, you're probably not that far off. You know, you probably just make some smart strategic adjustments, and you'll be exactly where you want to be. cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is musing or he's relieving himself. such a great verse. That's it. That's it for The Bible Is Funny today. I want to say one more time, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for all your kind words that you send. If you're not already, follow along on Instagram at The Bible Is Funny. Subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to the podcast. Leave a review. That's always so appreciated and encouraging. And I love you guys. And I will be back soon with another podcast. Talk to you then.